Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets: "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father God, as we spend some moments reflecting on this passage, this famous passage really, we pray that you'd enlighten the eyes of our hearts, give us real wisdom and understanding as to how this applies in our lives in this world of yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Here we go. I have to confess, Matthew 13 is one of my favourite chapters, and a lot of favourites really, but it's all about the kingdom. These kingdom parables that I was talking about last week, there's a number of them. Let's try and help you understand what the kingdom of God is like. I mean, a lot of them have a lot of things in common. It's about something that's coming in the future. You get a taste of it in the here and now. So last week, it's a similar one, with the parable of the sower. What was coming was the harvest. What's happening now is the planting of the seed, and we'll see what happens. And here it's a similar thing. What's coming is the harvest. What's happening now is the planting of the seeds. But it's quite different to the parable of the sower. Different things being represented here. And it probably wins the prize for the most misunderstood or misapplied parable. This one of Jesus, the wheat and the tares, which I think comes down to this business of the kingdom of God and the sort of theology around that we grew up with, said, well, the kingdom of God in our day is the church. You know, the church is where we see the kingdom of God, and therefore this parable is something to do with the church. And what we find is in the church, you get the wheat and the tares growing together, and they look very similar, and you can't really tell. And as you look around the congregation, just look around you now, some of these ones who look like Christians, they're not really Christians, they're the tares. They're the weeds, but we can't uproot them because, you know, we might damage others. So we'll just let them all grow and God will sort it out in the end. But I'm being, you know, quite serious. That is something that has been out there and done the rounds, and lots of people understood the parable in those terms. Are you okay, Rich? Sorry. Did I say something really funny? It's Stuart. Oh, fine. Fine, that's okay. That's okay. You can tell me afterwards. Or maybe don't tell me afterwards. That's okay. But actually, no, seriously, that causes a lot of trouble because you're always a little bit suspicious. You're looking for who's the real Christians and who's not. And we look at the visible church, but there's the real church hidden in amongst it somewhere. And there's some people who look like it, they say all the right words and all that. And you know what? Maybe there's some truth in that. You know, maybe you can come along to church and pretend to be a Christian or whatever, but actually that's really not what this parable is about. That much we know for certain. Because we get the explanation a little bit later. What is the field? Is it the church? No, the field is, did you notice? You tell me. The world. That's right. The field is the world. And there's this sense, let's lose this idea for thinking we're people of the kingdom of God, that means we're all about church. We're people of the kingdom of God, therefore we're all about the world. We're all about those 80 whatever staff and 400 children and their parents and the peacocks and the village and the care homes and the people in the world. That's where we want to see the kingdom of God, because that's where God has planted the seed in the kingdom of God. And what Jesus has come, and something in this parable is saying to his listeners, look, I've not come to bring the kingdom of God in fullness. I've come to bring the kingdom of God. I'm the Messiah you've been waiting for, but it's not all going to be here and now in totality. We're going to grow through this season where there's wheat and tares, where this world is a mix and really full of all sorts of things. But there's going to be something real. Because I've come, there's a real taste. There's something real of the kingdom of God here and now in the midst of it as we wait for the fullness. So again, it's that now and not yet of the kingdom, which we see expressed so many times all the way through. But let's think about the seed. Who are the seed? What is the seed? In the parable of the sower, the seed was the word of God. But let's not be confused with that, because that's not what the seed is here. Matthew is very clear. Field is the world. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil. So there's the sense. So, okay, look, seed and weeds, haven't we? The seed for the wheat is the kingdom of God. Jesus has come, founded this community, these people who are going to be different, and they're planted in the world, journeying alongside others. The roots are all intertwined. Yeah, there's this sense that we're meant to be out there among the people yet again. Sons of the kingdom. People whom God has drawn into his kingdom, drawn into relationship with him, reconciled through the cross to the living God. These are the ones. But in this world, we also have people who are not the good guys. People who are not wanting everything to work out well. People who are deliberately, willfully looking for ways to exploit and enslave and use and cause harm. To steal, to kill, to destroy. That's the work of the enemy in John 10, isn't it? But here we have the sons of the evil one, the sons of the kingdom growing together in the world. That's the picture. That's the wheat and the tares. And Jesus is saying, until he returns, until that harvest day, this is what the world is going to be like. And so we look around at our world today and we see these things. We see a mix. We see a lot of good things. We see the good seed doing good things, making a positive difference in this world. Sometimes perhaps we're recipients of that goodness, and we rejoice in it, and we say thank you for the glory of God as we see it in this world. But we also see the other side, the evil and the trouble and the exploitation and the injustice and the pain. And there's current things, isn't there? Even this week we've been hearing about both the NHS and the church leaders saying that we've got a real crisis in terms of mental health care in this country, and the church leaders saying the church is going to have to be picking up some of this slack because it's just not coping, the system isn't there. And I was reading even in the local paper, Long Stratton School, St Mary's School there, the first school in the country to have some input helping to address some of the mental health issues for children and young people, for whom it's a real big thing. And one study I was looking at in the week, suggesting that for the UK, we've got the second worst record of mental health issues among our young people, second to Japan. So it's a real issue, it's a real problem there. We look in the world and we think there's some stuff. What's going on? What's driving that? What's behind it? What are the reasons why that is there? Who are the weeds that are driving some of this? What can we do? Well, we look at the G20 summit, all the things that are going on there around the environment and the way global politics is working at the moment. Whatever you want to look at in the world, there is trouble, isn't there? But there is hope in Jesus, in us. God puts his faith in us to be those who are present in the world doing some stuff. So our task from this parable would seem to be not only to navigate through this world in a way that we don't chase the bubbles that are going to pop, that we don't give ourselves to the things that aren't going to last, that we don't get distracted. It's not just navigating through this world trying to keep ourselves pure, but actually being that seed that's engaged, that's connected with everything else that's happening in the world, but making that positive difference. And in the end, justice will come. And there's some difficult things in that passage. The harvest, the end of the age, and talks about the separating, and some being gathered into harvest into the barns, and some the weeds being bundled up and used as fuel in the fire. And I think that was just an agrarian thing. That was something that happened back in Jesus' day when they got a certain kind of weed that looked like wheat, and the roots were wound around the wheat roots. They would separate it in the harvest, and they would use this plant as fuel for the fire. But difficult to think, what is that? And there's talk of crying and grinding of teeth and all this final harvest at the end of the age when judgment happens. But it just reminds us that God is just. Justice is good, and justice will be done ultimately, and that we're living for what's to come, not just for the here and now, for the temporal. And precisely how that future separation, what that's referring to, how that's going to work, we don't know all the details. What we know for certain is that God is good, and that he will do what is right, and that justice will be done, that meanwhile we live our lives in a way that enables the goodness of God's kingdom, the glory of God to be seen in this world. And there's something in this parable about why is it that God doesn't just bring the kingdom in straight away? Because he's loving and merciful and wanting as many people as possible to have time and opportunity to respond to what God has done in Christ coming into this world to open up this rescue plan for each one of us. It's God's mercy that Jesus delays. And so it's important, isn't it, that we rise to do that which God trusts us to do, to be the seed, to be the wheat, to be in the field, in the world, making that difference. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this challenging parable. Where you find judgmentalism within our hearts towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, forgive us, help us, as Paul encourages us to accept one another as we love one another, as you commanded, Lord Jesus. And help us to have that global view, to see our place as people in this world, planted in this world. And we pray that as many as you are calling will come and see through us something of your love, something of your truth, something of your kingdom. Just encourage you to take a moment now in silence, in quiet, and respond to this parable. Identify, where are you planted in this world? What is it that God is putting on your heart in terms of the good things he's calling you to do, the injustice he's calling you to fight? So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are yours. Thank you that you have redeemed us by the cross and resurrection. We thank you. We're sons and daughters of your kingdom, that we belong to you. Help us by your Spirit to live in a manner that's worthy of that calling, that identity.